Okay, good evening. Got a haircut. You may want to know. What's different about you? I got my hair cut. Summer haircut. You know how that goes. Anyway, we're in the book of Proverbs. We'll be starting in Proverbs chapter 5. I think I'll get 5 through 9 done tonight. It's easier than it would sound. A lot of these, this doesn't take much comment, you know, just it's pretty straightforward and doesn't, I'll stop and make a few comments along the way. But let's pray. Father, as we look into your wisdom literature, that's what we want. We want to be wise. We want to know you better. We want to serve you better. Lord, we want to be thought of as wise people. We don't want to be scorners. We certainly don't want to be fools. Lord, help us to just absorb this. And we want it to be a real benefit, Lord. So we pray you bless to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5. It's funny, I was making notes. I put little notes on my phone sometimes. And 5 is about, I typed in sexual. And you know how your phone shortcuts you, gives you like, if you type in a word, it suggests what the next word is probably going to be. And so after I typed in sexual, it gave me harassment, orientation, and violence. Funny, it didn't give me sexual purity, which is what Proverbs chapter 5 is about. What it wasn't on AI's agenda or list. And actually, who's thinking about sexual purity these days? We're supposed to. Even in church, even in churches, our young people are not keeping very often, and I'm going to just say this right out, we expect, at Calvary Chapel, we expect young people to be pure until they're married. That's God's way. It's clearly in His Word, and we have all kinds of objections. We have people who are obviously smarter than God. Oh no, you have to live together first, and blah, blah, blah. But that's what it's all about. That's what the scripture's all about. Learning to do things God's way. That's what Proverbs is all about. We think we know better than God, and here's a big eye-opener for us. We certainly don't. And when we do things contrary to what God has said, it's called sin, and it never works out. It never works out for a host of reasons. Okay, let's jump right in before the time gets away from us. Chapter 5, Book of Proverbs. Again, it's about sexual purity. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, here we're introduced to the strange woman, and strange doesn't mean she has two heads or, you know, it just means strange to you, not your wife. In other words, for the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. It's funny because I see a lot of this in Proverbs, but I don't see any, you know, men, we're not that sophisticated. We're not that, this lady here is devious. Men can be devious, but usually we're just straightforward sinners, you know what I mean? But she's, this strange woman here, she's, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of hell. Now, most people won't believe that, but that's what it's saying. And I know it to be true. I'm not saying I know this personally, but I've seen it lived out time and time and time and time and time and time again. And does it ever not work that way? No. We don't obey God, disobey God, and have it all work out good for us. That just doesn't happen. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Boy, if that isn't true, I don't know what is. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Honor, it's not honorable, and you can waste your whole life away chasing after such a woman. You're giving your years to the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of the stranger. So here it is. You chase after this woman, you'll have her for a while, enough to have a couple of kids by her, but somebody else eventually is going to be putting them kids to bed. Somebody else is going to be calling, your children will be calling someone else dad. Someone else is going to be hugging on this woman and stuff like this. You don't want this in your life. And this is what the Bible's saying. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. So he's driving around your truck that you don't own anymore. He's living in your house that you don't live in anymore. Again, your kids are calling him dad, and they you see your kids once every other weekend. Go ahead and follow this. It won't work out, but some people will never learn until it happens to them. So strangers will be filled with your wealth, your labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Does that sound like venereal disease? Yes. But I think just natural living life against life doesn't work for your longevity. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Yeah, now, of course you say that, but now it's too late. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cisterns and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and thy rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Lest thy fountain be blessed. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, it's not talking about waters here at all. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. The cistern here is a metaphor for stay at home, is the idea. Running waters out of thine own wells. And the idea is don't let your fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. In other words, keep this at home. And he's talking about sexual activity. Again, it's all the same thing. He's talking about purity. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Sharing is no good when we're talking about spouse, okay? Let them be only thine own. And there's an exclusivity here. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Some people think and rejoice with the wife of thy youth, just be happy. It's talking about sexual activity. Let thy fountain be blessed. I don't have to draw you a picture, I hope. And you're saying, well, what makes you think it's talking about sex? Verse 19, for one, let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row, let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Again, the strange woman, bad mojo. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. So there's no such thing as secret sin. Again, we say secret sin here on earth is open scandal in heaven. God sees everything, even the thoughts and intents of your heart. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Okay, again, all pretty straightforward stuff. Proverbs chapter 6. This is called parental warnings in my Bible, and so it is, okay? Just, there's not like one theme throughout this whole thing, like Proverbs 5, sexual purity. That's all it is. It's 6 different topics. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of a fowler. Now, this language here is just a little bit obscure. If you be surety for thy friend, you've co-signed for a loan is the idea. If you've stricken thy hand with a stranger, so you've given your word on this. You're snared with the words of your mouth because you promised. That's the problem. You're taken with the words of your mouth. Do this now. Deliver thyself when thou art going to come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. So try to undo this and try to undo this as quickly as possible. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And by the way, why would you have a cosign along with anybody? Your children, maybe. I did this for my son, and he's a good son, and it worked out okay. And I did it for the other son, and well, let's not talk about that, okay? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Okay, he's talking about do this and do this quickly and don't dally about it. Now he says to the in verse 6 of chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Ants are pretty incredible. And he's saying as much. How long wilt thou sleep? You know, he's continuing with the idea. He's calling sleep and don't give sleep to your eyes. Take care of this business here and check out how ants do it. And he's still with the same idea. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. As one that traveleth, and thy want is an armed man. So people like this, they make me crazy. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. Well, go to bed earlier. What is your problem? It's the easiest thing in the world. I could stay up late for some crazy reason. And then we fight to get out of bed. I don't get it. If you know how much sleep you need, if you go to bed 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll be up plenty early to get anything done you want. It's just not a problem. Oh, just give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. We keep pressing the alarm, pressing the alarm, pressing the alarm. No problem, right? No problem. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. When you lose your job, you'll figure it out. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. Frowardness is perversity, okay? Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy, no cure. Okay, here we come to a section here. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Nearly as I can figure this out. This is kind of a methodology. Oh, 6 things about, you know, I've never understood this. Oh, no, no, there's 7. And it's kind of just like a way to point to the 7th thing. All 6 of them are true, but the 7th it makes the point, okay? These 6 things that the Lord hates. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about something God hates. Is that a problem? I thought God loved. Well, he does. He loves you, and he would hate the things that harm you. We all have that. I got a new, brought a new baby into the world. Perhaps I did at one time. I would hate anybody or anything that would hurt that precious life. A dog comes and attacks my baby, my new baby. That dog's in a lot of trouble. Adam, I thought you were a dog lover. Not a dog who would hurt my baby. I mean, right? We hate things that... I hate Satan. Satan lies to people and controls people, gets people to sin. I hate him. And these are the six things God hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness who speaketh lies. And that's only six. And the payoff. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Someone who gets in there and breaks things up. Right now, the United States of America, our beloved political leaders of both parties, if you ask me, but one party in particular, they're trying to separate us. They're trying to make it us and them. We're all Americans, but we're poor and we're rich. We're black and we're white. We're left or we're right politically. We're this or we're that. And we have to strive and fight and all this. And I'm, we used to have different ideas and we have for a couple hundred years. That's fine. And we're all Americans at the end of the day. Now it's vicious. Now it's vile. Now it's like, hey, you're on my tribe. Or then the name calling starts. I've never seen anything like it. He that soweth discord among the brethren. So when you do that to the body of Christ, Jesus isn't like ambiguous about that. He does not want his body split up. And the person who does that, he's not happy about that. You say, well, Adam, why are there denominations? Why is there all this and why is all that? It isn't happy. Everyone agree with me and we'll be fine. I can't change. I can't make myself not believe in something to suit somebody else. I can't do it. And I don't expect people to do it to me. But we can have like friendly, loving, kind disagreements. I'm a pre-trib rapture guy. Oh, I don't believe that. I'm post-trib guy. And, oh, okay. Okay. I will tell you my verses. You tell me your verses. At the end of the day, we'll agree to disagree agreeably. You know, we've been doing that for millennia. And that's fine. Again, now all of a sudden we got our posse and their posse and Facebook and it's just, and here, I just want to harp on this for a minute. God says, hey, I hate that. I hate that. I don't care how many likes you got. If you're sowing discord among the brethren, you're on my list. There's something, that's not something I want to see done. Okay, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and thy law is a light. And reproofs of instruction are the weight of life. To keep thee from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Okay, we got them happening again. The light here isn't very good. I'm going to do something here. Right in the middle of the teaching, I'm going to open up my blue letter Bible here on Proverbs 6. Okay. And because I can see it easily, I'm struggling to read this. I think my contact moved a little bit. okay. Six things, heart divided, false witnesses, keep your father. Okay. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction, instruction are the way of life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife and the smooth talk of a wayward woman, strange woman here. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Again, it's talking about adultery here, and it's, okay, keep thee from the evil woman, from the one who flatters with the tongue of a strange woman. Okay, it's all the same idea here as it was in chapter 5. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, women have their wiles. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Straightforward enough. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No. And the answer is obviously no. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Now, it's going to develop this idea here. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But in contrast to that, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. You can't pay a man off after you sleeping with his wife. No, it's not going to go well. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Okay, chapter 7. And again, we're going to be talking about chastity. Here in my Bible, it says the snare of unchastity. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my... Oh, okay, so the first five verses, he's just kind of laying the foundation, the groundwork for, now here's the teaching. He saw something, and he's telling us this little vignette, this little... it's not a parable, it's an actual something he saw. And he's warning us, like, okay, this is what happens. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. You mean that way that goes down to death? Yep. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, because sin happens at night. I think it's some part of our brain we don't perceive that God sees in the dark with equal, as well as we see in the light. He sees in the light, he sees in the dark. But we do our sin in the dark a lot of times. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Now that's, I don't think we understand this entirely. This is religious talk. She's telling, you know, she's talking with him like, hey, I have my peace offerings. That's a sacrifice that you make to God, okay? this day have I paid my vows. So she's talking the religious talk, and there's nothing behind it. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Now, the problem is, it's not love at all. It's just sex. We call it making love, but this here has nothing to do with love. If she really loved him, she wouldn't want to involve him in her sin. If he loves her, he wouldn't want to involve her in his sin. It's got nothing to do with love. And I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, making love, and they're not, no, they're not. All they're doing is having sex. And sex void of love is, well, dogs do that, don't they? I know you saw Lady and the Tramp when you were a little kid and watching the Disney movie, but dogs don't fall in love. I'm sorry if I burst your bubble. They really don't. Do they copulate and make puppies? Yeah. It's an instinct. It's got nothing to do with love. And you're acting like a dog when you just, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the appointed day. The day appointed. In other words, we're not going to get caught. The old man's not coming home today. One thinks of the Allman Brothers song way back in the day, One Way Out. I'm probably talking to like 2% of people listen to this. He's in a situation where he's with a woman and her old man comes home, you know, kind of thing. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. So it's all going to be good, right? No. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. What a vivid word picture. I love that. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Take your pick. Till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Plenty of word pictures there. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Pretty picture there. Well, I'm strong. I don't have to worry about that. Many strong men have been slain by her. And many strong, many. That's love that waits its turn. There's no exclusivity there. You're one of many. So there it goes. Okay, chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the path. Again, wisdom crying, making her appeal, and personified as a woman. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Well, how do I know if I'm simple? And how do I know if I'm a man of understanding, if I'm a man of wisdom? Well, as in chapter 7, if you thought that the way to the harlot's house was, yeah, it sounds like fun, let's do that, you're a fool. You're a fool. If you're thinking, no, I don't want to be part of many, that ends up in death. I don't want to be like an ox going to the slaughter. I got pressing matters to take care of. Well, you may be a wise person then. That's good. To the degree that we agree with Scripture, is that's how we're wise. And we not only we agree with scripture, but we take it, we put it in here, and we live it out in our lives. That's wisdom. Telling God he's wrong, he doesn't understand why you're the exception to the rule, why you're too cool for school. That is foolishness, okay? I'm just trying to be helpful here. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Now, I'm reading here, and I'm quoting wisdom. This is that woman that she cries, remember at the beginning there? She stands at the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the past. She crieth at the gates at the entry of the city. And she is saying, wisdom is saying, I'm not saying all the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. I'm reading that wisdom saying these things. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Oh, I want this, I want that, I want... No, you want wisdom. As I'm in my 60s now, I didn't always avail myself to wisdom. I was never anti-wisdom. I wanted to get a lot of facts and a lot of factoid stuffed up in here. But after a while, I realized as I gained some knowledge that there's nothing. I kind of went to the school of hard knocks. I did things my way, and I didn't really, Bible, that's interesting. It's a good book. It's, I believe it's God's word, and blah, 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 blah. But I didn't try to live it out, and the mistakes are all there. It's only when I really applied myself to trying to, do what scripture said and try to apply it that I, made any headway in the things of the Lord at all. Okay. For wisdom is better than rubies, all things that may be desired not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Again, this is wisdom talking. How do I know if I fear God correctly? If I, because people talk about the fear of the Lord, and people define it as this. How do I know if I have the right fear of the Lord? It's to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, perverse mouth. If you're hating those things, then you have a proper fear of the Lord. Let's keep moving, though. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Still wisdom talking. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Sometimes we think, well, I need to be wise to understand wisdom, or I won't see it. I won't recognize it when I see it. No. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. James says the same thing. Any of you lack wisdom? Ask God. God slathers wisdom on us, loves to bless us with wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Wait a second. How do I know that? How do I know that everyone has this get-rich-quick scheme, and very, very often they don't work. Wisdom has riches built in. Well, I'm not very rich, you say. I know. Well, apply yourself to wisdom. It'll happen. Riches and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Well, I like gold. I'd like to have a lot of gold. Well, you want riches. Gold to be thrown in as a bonus. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. If it was just one verse, you'd say, it goes on and goes on. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So God always had wisdom. He possessed wisdom even before the beginning. I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning, or ever the earth was, even before creation is what's being said there. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the Son of Man. So God possessing wisdom and creating with wisdom, wisely creating is another way of saying that. And now, my delights were with the sons of men. God wants to share his wisdom. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Death, folly, simple scorners, okay? Wise, longevity, life, riches, blessing, prosperity, all the things that everybody wants. How do we get them? Wisdom. Okay, chapter 9, it's not long. Let's go then, we'll finish up tonight with this briefer of the Psalms, of the Proverbs, I mean. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. Okay, she's setting a banquet is the idea, okay, if the language is a little obscure, that's what she's doing. She's getting all her finery out, her fine china, her cloth napkins. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Inviting is the idea, right? Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a sinner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So now we have another fear of the Lord verse. What is it saying about this one? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we want to start down the road. We haven't been very, we're listening. Okay, I've set my table. Come eat, feast. It's time. Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great. Okay, what are we going to do? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Remember, we were talking about those three different ways to look at, you know, one builds on the other, one says kind of the opposite, and this is just the fear of the Lord, A equals beginning of wisdom, B. Knowledge of the Holy One, A, is understanding, B. It's just a different way to say the same thing. What same thing? Fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. What's the other way to say it? Knowledge of the Holy is understanding. For by me, again, wisdom, for by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. Wisdom equals longevity. How do you know? Well, it says so right here. That's what it says. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Well, I want to live to be 120. Well, it's easy. Just be the wisest person ever. It's no problem, right? If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. So we have wisdom calling and we have a foolish woman calling. Okay, she doesn't know anything. Wisdom, well, is wise. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Hey, let's get busy. Let's have a time of it. Stolen waters are sweet. We don't use that verbiage, but what she's saying, it's going to be a good time. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She's lying, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So there's Sheol, there's hell, there's death, there's not longevity, there's quick death. And then there's wisdom, longevity, riches. It's all there. So all through the book, we're going to be talking about wisdom and that's the whole thing. You know, get wisdom, fear. How do we start down that road? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Stolen waters are sweet. Nope. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Nope. She knows how to lie. She knows how to flatter. She knows how to get her own way. But at the end, if you consider the end, it's death and it's just bad stuff. Okay, I hope that was a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we want to not know these things. We want to do these things. We want to understand these things. We've heard a lot, Lord, about you from a long time. You know, fear the Lord, God-fearing people. We used to talk about that back in the day. It used to be a thing, and now it's not a thing anymore. You know, it's our thing. We want to have proper fear for you, Lord. We want to depart from evil. We want to start down the path of wisdom. We want, Lord, to fear you like you deserve, like you ought to be feared. And Lord, we love you also, and we love the fact that you know how to bless, you know how to pour out blessings on us, and you give us longevity and riches and everything else. You're a good Father. We praise and thank you for that. So Lord, bless this quick meditation to our hearts, and that we might be different people, Lord, having learned your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Grace and peace.